Pray. Well, Almighty God, help us to not fear for anything. Whatever our circumstances in our lives, do not let us fear, because we have you. Give us total trust in you. Whatever happens is your plan, and it is your will that we will follow. Give us that courage. Give us your deep peace during every life storm, every trial, every tribulation. Give us your solid rock as hope in the future, because we have your Son. Give us the courage to face every life crisis with serenity. Lord, we ask you to open our ears and give us new hearts to hear your work, to follow you, and equip us to serve you one day at a time until you call us home to be with you and Jesus. In Jesus' name we ask. Good morning, Soma. Welcome, everyone, and thank you all for coming to hear God's word one more time. As Paul explains the mysteries of our faith as he wrote to the Ephesians. Today's special, we hear Paul give us one supreme element that makes Christianity unique. And this, along with the passage from last week, is really, truly the crux of the gospel. I've been a little frazzled this week, I apologize, especially to the music team. I was supposed to send out the verses and everything, and apparently I did not hit send on Tuesday. And so Colleen called me up last night, sent me a message last night. Hey, where's the stuff? It's like, didn't I send that out? I put that all together and I scroll back, and sure enough, there it is, sitting there waiting, waiting, waiting. So I sent it out, and then I realized there were typos. Colleen let me know, you got the passage wrong. And so I had to fix things. And it was a real comedy of errors. Part of the reason I've been frazzled this week, of all the crazy things, I'm retired, right? NASA calls me up and they had things that they needed help with. Two different groups called me up. And so I'm doing student evaluations right now for proposals on things that the students are putting together. And then the other one, this is a real kick. I've never been selected for this at such a critical time, and it's really hard for me to say no, but I'm selecting science experiments to go onto the International Space Station right now. So it's like, how do you say no to that when they call you up? So I was a little out of it this week, and I have to turn both of those packages in. One of them is due Monday, and one of them is due Wednesday. So it's kind of a cascade of things going on right now. Oh, and I had to do the passage, you know. I want to let you know we pray for all of you, and we pray that you're well fed on God's word. You're healthy in spirit and body. It has been a trying time for all of us. Leanne and I have this conversation fairly frequently in our house about what we're stressed out over and what's going on, the little things that we should be able to just give up to God and not worry about it. But I stress over those things, and that's my issue, not God's. And I should just hand it all to Him. And I hope that all of this is working out to be a blessing for you in one way or another. You may not realize it. It will be. We just haven't gotten there yet. We don't realize what that blessing might be. Let's do a quick review of a couple of elements from last week. There were just a couple of bits that went by, and I want to make sure you got them all before we proceed. I need to add, that section of Ephesians is packed with the revelation of the Christian faith. This is the gospel message at its very core. This is where Paul's incredibly deep scholarly background and his comprehensive understanding of the Old Testament gives him the ability to explain all these things so that they are fully revealed. Back in Ephesians 1, 19 to 23 is the full explanation of the resurrection and enthronement of Christ by Paul. First, that the very power that raises Jesus up from the grave is the very power that saves us from the grave also. If Jesus could not do that, if the Father had not done that for Jesus, then we would not have that ability either. And so that very power is alive in us. It's the same power that God bestowed to lift us out of death to be with Him. Second, Christ is seated on the throne next to the Father as the ruler of all the universe. And so He is there as the head of the church. Jesus resides in the most exalted position in the universe. And He does this for our sake. Okay? That authority exists for service, which is symbolized by Christ. Christ did this in service to us. Everything that He did was in service to us. So when He is exalted to that position, that is because of His service for us. Okay. That authority exists for service. Jesus' use of His majestic power and supreme authority in the interest of His church is the Christian model. Only Jesus has that power to do that. Paul also reminds all people that Christ's power has brought all of us from death into life and from alienation to inclusion to be God's children. This is truly incredible. Now, when we get to this passage, I realized as we were going through it that Simon preached this about 7 or 8 years ago, actually, to us. And I remembered what he said at that time, back when we were a brand new church. And we're going to be going into chapter 2 of Paul's letter of Ephesians today. And as always, there's three pieces in here. Everything is always in threes. We have the Apostle Paul opening with the complete failure of the human condition. And then Paul gives the solution to that problem. And finally, Paul explains the unique and great encompassing solution that God provides to that problem and how that solves the problem for us. So listen to how this is explained by the Apostle Paul. Okay, we're going to be in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. We're beginning the second chapter of Ephesians today. So part one, let's go ahead and start. We open with a piece from Paul that is a direct reflection of ourselves. And this is verses 1 through 3. It's all one package. And he starts off with a real zinger. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carried out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. This is a description of us before we had Jesus. This is who we are as mankind. This is the mark of Adam. We are formed in the image of God, but we chose to go a different path than the one God had provided for us. We've all disobeyed Him. We have all gone astray. We've all wandered off at our heart's desire. What's that? Simon used to talk about this. What do they always say at Disney? Follow your heart, right? Yeah. And that's absolutely the wrong thing to do. We need to follow Jesus. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Everything that happens to Jesus, that's our fault. That is because of what we did, who we are, and we did that to Jesus, to put him up on that cross. Jesus, in love, suffers the punishment for that. We followed the course of this world. We followed what our hearts wanted, not what God wants for us. We were the children of disobedience. The great deceiver told us we could have what we wanted, and we believed him. We did this. We listened to him who is created and fallen. We were children of wrath, just as all of mankind. We were there without hope. We had no way of rescuing ourselves. You cannot pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. We were actively rebelling against God, and we were the subject of God's just punishment. So after that really depressing opening, we get the answer to this problem. Verses 4 and 5. But God, and this is that amazing, God sees the problem, and he says, this is the answer to that problem. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Here in verses 4 and 5, but God, in complete contrast to our natural situation, God has a better plan. It is the plan of redemption. Notice here, it has nothing to do with any sort of value inherent in ourselves. It is completely and wholly owned and because of God, God's mercy and his love. Even as we are in direct rebellion to God and we are dead to God, dead to him, God reaches down and grabs each one of us out of the mire, out of the sewage and the stench of death. And God raises us up to be his children with his own son. It is completely and wholly God who makes us alive in Christ Jesus. It is by God's grace that we are saved. And it has not a single thing to do with who we are. And that is such a good thing. This short snippet right here is one of the most distinctive characteristics of Christianity. No other religion on the earth makes this claim. No other religion solves the problem this way. It's always, you have to earn your way to favor with God. In Christianity, that cannot happen. The gulf between where we are and where God is infinite. There is no way we can bridge that gap. The only one who can bridge that infinite gap is the infinite himself. It is God that reaches down and rescues us. You can clearly see how God receives the most glory this way, with this plan, with this way of working out salvation for all of us. All the glory is to God for saving us. It has nothing to do with us. So what does this mean for us? Verses 6 and 7. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. He does this for his glory. This is the amazing thing. God chooses his elect and blesses them with salvation, wholly from himself, because it brings him the most glory. Somehow all this stuff that's going on in life, the things that are both good and bad, happen according to God's plan to bring him the most glory. It has to be that way. If God is sovereign, it must happen this way. This is the only way that it can happen. How amazing is this? We can do nothing about our condition. So God steps in and lifts us up, and he places us next to his own son, Jesus. Think about that. He's placing us in that same place. We are adopted as his children when he chooses us this way. And so through Jesus, God displays his infinite riches of his grace to all of us. God rescues us, the body of his church, to be with him and his son forever. And so from here, this is the closing of the second part of this passage. And the third part comes now. Verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. This is why I wanted that passage about Abraham. Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. And the crazy thing is, God creates Abraham to have that faith. God creates that faith in Abraham. The faith comes from God. There's nothing you can do. I want you to stop and think about when you were saved, right? And how you think you're choosing Jesus, right? This is what you're thinking. And in fact, what's happening is God has set everything up so that at that moment, there is nothing that you could do but to accept Jesus because of the way it's presented to you. The grace is irresistible. You fall into grace. It has nothing to do with you. It is all of God's plan when this happens. Here the gospel, the Apostle Paul explains one of the mysteries of God. It is by the grace bestowed on us by God that we are saved through the faith that he gives us. There is nothing we can do to earn this. If we had done something to earn this, it would be like paying for our own work. We would have to do something in order to save ourselves. In fact, this cannot be the case. None of this is because of anything we did. God gives his grace freely. It is the free gift of God. None of this is because of anything we can do, and God does this for us. There is nothing here that we can boast of in ourselves, and it causes us to raise up and praise God for having rescued us. We can only boast in Jesus, who is the object of our salvation. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There it is. God creates this everything beforehand to set all of this up so that you will walk in that path and come to that point. This is the gospel message. This is the mystery of the Christian faith. This mystery is of our God. Because we are wholly the workmanship of God, He created us to do good works in Christ Jesus, all of which God prepared far before time began in the universe. And the Holy Spirit lights the path for us. Because we listen to the Holy Spirit, when you are confronted with a certain situation, if you had the law, you could only do one thing in that situation, whenever that situation arose. However, when you have the Holy Spirit tells you, go left. You go left. You come to that same situation again, and the Holy Spirit tells you, go right. And you go right. If you only have the law, you must go left every single time. We have the Holy Spirit guiding our feet, telling us where we should go. God puts you into situations in order to be where He needs you. There's an old joke about someone who's complaining about all the pain and suffering in the world, and why can't God do something about this thing for this particular person? God created you. What are you doing about that for that person? This is why you can choose to do something different. The Holy Spirit is telling you to do the things that God wants you to be so that you're where you're supposed to be. No other religion has anything like this. Every other religion expects some way of earning the way to heaven. In fact, Judaism and Islam both pose the same question, the problem here. What is the failure of our human condition, and why can you not get to God? You can't follow the law, so therefore you automatically cannot get to heaven. The same with all the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad. Islam is not the answer. Judaism is not the answer. The only answer is Jesus. We are broken, without redemption, without value. God shows His mercy and love for us, and He sends His only Son to die in our place. And believing in Jesus, our faith is the sign that God has chosen us. Jesus has already purchased us for redemption. If you have not believed in Jesus yet, ask yourself, this is a free gift. All you have to do is ask for it. Accept Jesus as your Savior. Do not wait. Pray to Jesus and ask Him to come to you. This is the slightest glimpse of the majesty, the power, the authority, the mystery, the love, the mercy, and the grace of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are all condemned to die. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot do anything to save ourselves. So the Father sends His only Son, Jesus. And Jesus came that we might have life to its fullest, abundantly overflowing. Jesus is our living water flowing out of the well. Jesus is our rock and our salvation. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Breath, lives in each one of us, each of us. We are the church. We are the body. We are the children of God. We are Christians. We're God's chosen people. And we know why Jesus came. And we see Jesus throughout all of the Old Testament prophecies. We see Jesus as Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. Every story is about Jesus. Indeed, all of the message here is about Jesus. We are blessed to be able to see Jesus in all of Scripture, Old Testament and the New Testament, so that we can stand ready on the day of the Lord when Jesus comes again. And we will see the New Jerusalem coming down from the clouds. all the saints singing praise and glory to the Lord. There will be no sun, no moon, and no temple, because above us all will be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How beautiful and glorious that day will be. That is the day I look for. And I need to remind myself of this more often. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, how amazing is your plan of righteousness. Jesus, we sing praise to you for your greatest of all gifts to us, yourself. Oh Lord, who is like you? We could search heaven and the earth and find none like you, for you are unique in your pure, unblemished holiness. And we stand before you as sinners. You laid aside eternal glory to be joined with us, even as we were still beyond you. Oh Father, you sent Jesus into the world to save sinners, and we indeed are those people. You sent your Son Jesus, and then you sent your precious Holy Spirit to guide our paths, to bring about the same holiness that you possess within yourselves. Lord, make us holy. I pray that as we endure, you would help us to consider Jesus, to remember that Jesus is there for us. Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured death and the eternal weight of our sin, we praise his holy name and lift him up. Lord, one may plant and another water, but you give the increase. You are the one that causes the growth. Thank you for the faithfulness of Paul. Let us carefully consider his example of sacrifice and endurance here for the church of Ephesus. Lord, give us that heart, that courage, that conviction. As it is written in the Psalms, for whom do we wait? Lord, our hope is in you. Open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, so that your word might fill us. Give that grace to this message. Let the messenger be small and of no consequence. Let everyone only see Jesus, even as we are being made to be more like your Son. We thank you and we praise you. Amen.